Yep.
Hello, and welcome to Flat Skirts and Basic Black, Season 2, Episode 2. I'm Marcia.
And I'm Shannon.
And welcome to our podcast. Shannon, what is Plaid Skirts and Basic Black?
Well, Plaid Skirts and Basic Black is a Catholic, Black Catholic podcast. So we're two basic Black ladies who are Catholic, wore our plaid skirts to Catholic school, and love to talk about all things pop culture and related to religion, politics, whatever. Anything that we can talk about through a Black Catholic lens.
And we really are as basic as we can be. I had a pumpkin spice latte yesterday, Shannon.
I had a caramel latte just before we started recording.
Yeah, it was a pumpkin spice latte frappuccino.
Oh, yeah. Super fit.
I know, but they only could do venti or grande, and I was like, that's a lot of sugar.
That's a lot.
And they were buy one, get one half off for this happy hour.
Oh, yeah, happy hour.
So I went with my friend Julie. Shout out to Julie, mm-hmm. Also Catholic, also basic. Hey, she is not Black, but she does consider me her sister, so I don't know if that works. But, no, it does not work. But she did spend Thanksgiving with my family. Sister from another mister. Yes, so there's that. But, yeah, so that was the most basic thing I did all week, because I've been kind of working a lot indoors. So let's do a weather check really quick. Shannon, how's the weather in your neck of the woods?
It's pretty calm and, maybe like slightly chilly, not because anything's bad, just because it's getting busy in our neck of the woods. We're in September, so like kids are in full swing doing all their stuff in school. Eric and I are both pretty busy keeping ourselves employed. That's important. Feed all my kids.
How's he liking his job?
Exactly.
I say his new job?
Yeah, he's at his new job. He's been hired as a principal at a local Catholic K-8 school, so we're very excited. He's assistant principal and in charge of discipline, which is hilarious, although he tends to be more of the disciplinarian at our house, so he's probably pretty good at it. it's all wonderful. So right now I'm just keeping cool, calm, and collected, and hopefully making it through September without any major incidents. It's the plan.
We got this, girl. The weather over here, you know, it's also been pretty calm, a little balmy at times. But yeah, no, things are pretty good. They've been, I had the football players at my house last night, Shannon.
Oh, man.
So,
did you go through, like, all of your food in 10 minutes?
Legit, I did. Okay, so this is what happened. Okay, so all the football players came over. So if this is your first time listening, I, unlike Shannon, I am not a parent. I'm a single lady. All the single ladies. But I work in a residential facility, and I raise teenage boys. One middle schooler, and then the other 8 are high schoolers. And like more than half of my kids are football players, and I hosted every I know, right? It's like, and it smells like football in my house from like 7 until 7:30 every night, because they come in, and I was like, we're gonna have dinner at 7:30, but you really need to shower first.
Everybody shower.
I was like, all the people, everybody shower. And so last night, so every week they host, we host football dinner. So like, it's like we rotate the different homes of all the football players. And so the person who's hosting, like, they host, they make the main dish, and then they ask people to bring, like, sides or whatever. So I made spaghetti and meat sauce and green beans, and I was like, everyone just bring garlic bread. Like, do you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I was like, this is what we're going to have. Do you know what I mean? Like, there we go. And so I made enough spaghetti for 65 people, okay?
And how many
people? 30 people in my house, okay?
Okay.
Basically, I had enough for every single child to eat once they grabbed all the spaghetti. And it was like, all the adults were like, wait, what just happened? And we were like, the coaches were like, that was a lot of food. And I was like, it was a lot of food. What happened to all the food? And so I like immediately ran back to the kitchen to boil some more.
Yeah, at least.
Because we still had meat sauce. Like, I know, we were out of pasta. So I was like, we had meat sauce, so we just boiled the pasta. and I just added more sauce to the meat sauce. Mm-hmm. You know, at the bottom, and I was like, food!
And Jesus multiplied.
Right? Like, legit. And I was like, what is wrong with y'all? And it was so crazy because yesterday was my day off, but I already agreed to host it, forgetting that I was working, that I wasn't working mm-hmm. yesterday. It was really no big deal because then I got to just peace out when it was all over. Yeah. So I made the food. I helped clean up. I had all these other things too. I had to return library books for my other boys and, you know, all these other things. And like, because it's seriously like, I'm not kidding. I told someone, I go, I'm not going to say that I'm not their mom. I don't ever say that I'm their mom. Right. Like, cause that's not true. I am not their parent. I am their family teacher. That's where mm-hmm. we are. But at the same time, they recognize that I am the mom figure. Like they're you're the mom. I get treated like the mom. Like mm-hmm. every time, especially now that I have, I it's just myself and another single and he's male. I worked with a couple previously, mm-hmm. but so it's like, I'm the mom and he's the dad, but like, we're not together at all. Like, that's not how that works. This is a co-parenting situation. So I basically,
I'm
seriously the mom. Like, it's so funny because when I came into this position, like my role slightly changed. Like I was always like, mm-hmm. oh yeah, I'm living in this home and raising the boys and you know, whatever. But there was a couple here that represented the mom and dad figure. And I was mm-hmm. like, and like, that's where we are, but nope, that's not the case anymore. Like it's not the case. It's like, I got a hole in my jeans. I don't know where my shoelace went. I go, what is happening? You are 16 years old.
Lose a shoelace.
Like, girl, my kids will lose a shoelace.
So, I know. How did you lose that?
So, but
and anyway. I have little people in my house,
and it's so crazy. But and it was seriously like I was like it was so great. And one of the kids who doesn't live in my house, he calls me mother all the time as a joke.
Oh
and
my gosh!
So it is just really funny. So like all the kids were like, "Thanks, Marcia." You know what I mean? Thank you know, and leaving the house mm-hmm. and stuff. And it was so funny. And I like. And even though other kids have the chores, I was like, oh, and I have to clean the kitchen. Like I'm a mom. Like I was seriously like, and it's so funny. And I was, I put it on Instagram last night on my @stylishly_Sia, follow it. And I was like, I'm so exhausted. Cause I laid in bed and I took a picture and I was like, and after all of these things, like I did all the stuff, like I made dinner and fed all the football players and their coaches and everyone else in my house. And I don't want to get up. And I go, but I realize that I did not eat, and I forgot to return the library books.
So, that sounds very familiar. So,
I was seriously laying in bed. Like, I was in my jeans and shirt and cardigan and my earrings in my ear, and I made a joke. Like, I'm just tempted to sleep right now as I am. And then I woke up this morning in that same position in all my clothes and earrings. And I got home and I was like 6 and I go, what is happening? But no, you know what?
You've been initiated into right? the motherhood collection.
I'm not kidding. But it was really great. Like at that moment last night when I was sitting down and I'm like, I had a feeling like at this moment, like this is enough. You know what I mean? Like, because I've tried to put out my head, like stressing, like, oh my gosh, I'm not married and I won't have kids. Mm-hmm. And, do you know mm-hmm. all this stuff? But like, I really did. I felt like that. Like, I was like, this is enough. Like, here I am. Do you know? Yeah. Like, these kids is crazy. Yep. I love these crazy kids. They is crazy though. And they ate all my food. They ate all my food, Shannon. All my food. Wait. And then when they ate all the food, they went searching through my other food for more food. Yep, and I was like, can y'all leave my house? All of y'all, all the football players, leave my house.
So, you need to get some, like, nice, you know, like, girls gymnasts or something where they have to, like.
But, you know, though, I cannot raise teenage girls, Shannon. Oh, my gosh. No. Are you kidding me? Can you imagine that? People do that by choice.
Yes, because I will have to. I don't know if it was by choice. I didn't get to, like,
well, I mean, here, as family teachers, like, as family teachers, yeah. Like, they choose, they like, I choose the girls. And I go, why do you choose the girls? I was like, remember how your mom used to say, the way you treat me, your daughter's going to treat you? Don't choose the girls. Don't ever choose the girls. No, the girls are great. And I really like the girls here too.
Yes.
But No, I'm
but good. You don't have to raise them.
I don't have mm-hmm. to raise them. Someone does, and they're doing a bang-up job, so we're okay. Mm-hmm.
I just like to point out to everyone, as further evidence of our basicness, Marcia just paused her story and drank some LaCroix. LaCroix, sorry. Bad pronunciation there.
Well, who was it who explained it? Oh, on their website, it says, it's pronounced LaCroix, like, enjoy. Rhymes with enjoy. So I'm like, oh, okay. I totally did.
I'm just trying to be French, as I learned in French class in high school. Which would be La Croix.
And it's lime flavored. So if not the key lime, the key lime is so good. Key lime is good.
I mean, key lime everything's pretty good. Key lime everything. I just had a key lime meringue pie the other day. Yes, ooh. They do make them. Yeah, so good. The curd, as Paul Hollywood says on the British Baking Show, was tart and beautiful.
That is a good show.
It is. Except now they have the new season on Netflix, and it does not have Mary Berry or Melon Sue, which is, and I mean, like,
Mary Berry.
Nobody wants Paul. You should have kept those two. Mary Berry. Those three.
I mean, and got rid of Paul. She's got anyway. The best name for a British baking show. Mary Berry. Like,
just Mary Berry.
Just saying.
Mary Berry's pie. Okay.
We should moving probably on. Get into our topic. Like, here we go. Well, we're only 11 minutes in. Like,
only 11.
Hey, that's last time, good. What was it? Last time, like 20 minutes in. And we're like, oh, yeah, how about we talk about our topic?
Oh, yeah.
How about topic we do that? Time. Okay, so, I'm just going to rip this page out of here. Okay, so today's topic, one that is near and dear to both of our hearts. We're talking about pro-life feminism. Woo!
Woo!
Well, I mean, as I just like to call it, feminism.
Feminism.
Because they didn't go into this in the movie that we watched, but feminism was built on, like, pro-life was one of their things. Like, it didn't become, abortion didn't become a part of feminism until like Gloria Steinem got a hold of it.
Yeah.
But, do you know what I mean? Like, let's be real. So, anyway. So, the movie that we watched, that we hope you guys watched too, is called Pro-Life Feminist. Because, because I'm going to, by the time this records, I would have already posted that you guys should watch it. So, I hope that you did. Mm-hmm. Right? And if I haven't, I'm so sorry. I'm raising boys and they're football players. No, but I'm just teasing. No, so the movie we saw was Pro-Life Feminist, and it was put on, it was FN, is it Feminists for Nonviolent Choices? That's who put it, who made the movie, right?
I think so.
Yeah, mm-hmm. So FFNV. You can follow them on Instagram and Twitter, and they have a website.
Yeah, so go to their website.
But yeah, go to the website. But yeah, I follow them on Instagram because that's where it's at. But it's mm-hmm. Feminists for Nonviolent Choices, and they made this movie. It was sometime, was it earlier this year or was it last year?
17, so last year.
Because I'm like, I know it was a while ago, but this year's going to be mm-hmm. over soon. So I was like, maybe it was in January.
It happened in 2018. Everybody vote in November. Vote in November. Okay.
So it's about being feminist and pro-life and how pro-life is an essential part of your feminism and how feminism, like, informs your pro-lifeness. Like, you know what I mean? It's like they go hand in
yeah,
hand.
Both ways. They do. They are natural bedfellows, yes. Contrary to what most people will tell you.
Exactly. And so I, a lot of the movie, it was one of those, like, I watched it. When it came out, I wanted to buy it on DVD. And mm-hmm. I was like, yeah, let's buy this on DVD. And then I just never got around to it. And at one point I was like, it's probably a lot of things I already say, but I totally will support this cause. You know, mm-hmm. And already say and know and think and believe and everything. But I really enjoyed it, even though thinking I knew everything, because I don't know all the things.
Yeah.
So Shanna, what were your takeaways from the movie?
So I think it was, for me, a really great way to look at people who are pro-life and feminist for not necessarily religious reasons, although some of them were. But, you know, one of my big things is, like, my religious worldview and my just worldview as a person, a citizen of the United States who gets to vote and engage in politics and discussion on non-religious terms, Those two things for me go hand in hand. And I think that's the point of like real faith and true religion, is that like it should shape your worldview and values and transform you. But it also helps to crystallize those very human reasons you might believe something. So in the case of like pro-life in particular, it's always something as a Catholic that, you know, it's very obvious to everyone who's ever known anything about Catholicism in the past 30 years, right, is that we are a pro-life church, and we believe that every human life from the very beginning of conception to the very end of its natural existence deserves respect, whether that's somebody who's in prison for murdering someone, whether it's a baby in the womb, whether it's a person who's terminally ill, whether it's a disabled person who's just living their normal life in the middle of their prime, or a regular old person with no problems and is perfectly developmentally normal. Everyone has equal dignity and equal rights before God and in America before the law, right? Like that's the heart of our Constitution, right? The Declaration of Independence and all that. And like we could get into some historical debates about politics, but we won't go there. And certainly for me as a biracial person, like I think that as someone who's of African descent, I understand that in a very unique way, because, you know, like every person who is of African descent in this country, even if you're coming, like even if you're freshly immigrated from Africa, you have to deal with the fact that slavery happened, that racism still happens, right? That people who are brown or black are valued less in society, right? Because of the way society is structured. And I'm not trying to say that like everyone in America hates brown and black, like that individually, that's not true of people. Like we know that. But being pro-life, is part of that experience too. And then being a feminist for me is a, you know, is that the, it comes down to dignity, right? Like, obviously I'm a woman, so I think women are equal, but we live in a society that, while it may not be structured patriarchically in practice, or sorry, in ideals, is in practice. And so, you know, like women still don't get paid as much as men for the same work. Like that's ridiculous. You know, like you, if it were like, oh, this guy over here is just getting paid less than this other guy with the same qualifications, everyone would be like, what the hell, what's going on here? But because you have a uterus and you know, feminine hormones that change your body, apparently that means you don't deserve to get paid for the same amount of work for which you might be even more qualified than somebody else. Like that's ridiculous. And that's just one example of the many reasons we need feminism in the world. But I think too, like the reason for me that feminism and pro-life go hand in hand is because, like, when we're putting restrictions on whether or not women's bodies can do what they're supposed to do, then that's anti-woman, right? Like that, our bodies are made to have children. That doesn't mean we should just have as many children as we can. Like every woman has the right to make decisions with her partner about how many children she wants to have, right? And in a responsible way, right? Being open to life as a Catholic, you know, I believe being open to life when it comes unexpectedly, right? And all of those things, but like being responsible. And you know, like if you want to work, you should be able to work. If you want to take care of your children, you should be able to take care of your children. And when people put restrictions on that, whether that's people who are raping you or whether that's people who are telling you that you need to have an abortion, that is oppressive to women. That's not what's right for women. And it's saying that women's bodies are inferior and function like badly when they're doing what they're supposed to be doing in reproduction. Right? Like that's terrible. Anyway, soapbox, everybody. Soapbox. Sorry. All right. Long spiel. So my takeaway was just kind of like, that, like, here are some great ways to be able to talk to people about why these two things that I believe go hand in hand, as I just explained for about 20 minutes, should really be something that we should all talk about, and not necessarily that I have to talk about it from a Catholic perspective, although I can say, you know, like, these are the principles that I believe as a Catholic person, but that those are principles not that are necessarily just for Catholics, but that everybody can get behind, and all feminists can say, hey, yeah, we can talk together and work together. And by the way, feminism just means that you believe men and women should be equal, not that, like, you think. Yeah. So, like, if you believe men and women should be equal, right, in what they can do, like, their potential and all of that, right, we're not saying that, like, men aren't generally stronger than women like that, right? They're not equal. We're not trying to, like, make women's bodies different or men's bodies different, but, like, just means that, like, wow, I'm a person with opinions and emotions.
No, I'm just saying, like, that's the part that hurts. Sorry, I totally cut you off.
No, that's fine. I'm done.
Yeah, I'm all done. No, I really, one of the biggest takeaways for me in the movie, so it was a lot of things that I already knew and a lot of things that I constantly have to remember again. So, like, all of us pro-lifers know that Norma McCorvey, who was Jane Roe, mm-hmm. that she, before she died, she was pro-life.
Mm-hmm.
That
she, for years.
Years. Like, it was, like, more than 10 years before she died, she spoke to the Supreme Court, and she was like, mm-hmm. y'all, this is bad. I am so mm-hmm. sorry. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, she basically mm-hmm. even said how she lied about being raped mm-hmm. to have her cause be, you know what I mean? Like,
uh-huh.
she was a pawn, and so one of the takeaways was that the pro-choice movement that was, like, Roe v. Wade gained traction because it was built on a lie.
Uh-huh.
I mean, we already know it was built on a lie. We already uh-huh. know abortion is a lie, and that's not, you know what I mean? It's a real thing, but you know uh-huh. what I mean? Like,
yeah,
the any cause for abortion. Well, I don't want to say that because there are things like ectopic pregnancies, and I want to be sensitive mm-hmm. to those things. But any reason that comes from yourself, that is a lie. Like, that baby mm-hmm. is wanted. Doesn't mm-hmm. matter wanted by you or not, that baby is wanted, period.
Mm-hmm.
But it was built on a lie. Like, it was built on a blatant lie.
Mm-hmm.
And she ended up not having an abortion.
Mm-hmm.
She had her baby. Yep. Mm-hmm. And that was that. What was her name? The Doe Girl.
The other lady spoke.
And it's so funny because you don't hear a lot about her, but because mm-hmm. you hear a lot about Jane Roe all the time. And I was like, oh, yeah, that was a Doe. I forgot about that.
And they were married. It was a married couple mm-hmm, that was.
Mm-hmm. And it was kind of like they were trying to make their case, and it was a lie. Mm-hmm. The other thing that Amy said, she was mm-hmm. one who was the rape survivor. Mm-hmm. her ex-boyfriend raped her, and she said when she realized, when he's like, if you don't have an abortion, I'm going to kill you, and that she realized in that moment, she's like, because I'm an inconvenience, because mm-hmm. you know, all these things, and she's like, that's exactly what you want me to do. And she, the one thing that she said that stuck out to me, she goes, I knew what was going on in my body, I knew what was happening, I took 9th grade biology.
Yeah.
And I was like, we go. I was like, literally every person that's in 10th grade has taken 9th grade biology.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the one thing that I thought about. I was like, and I know it's science. Like, it is science. And and they even in the court proceedings, like when you heard the audio mm-hmm. of the court proceedings, they recognized that this was a baby. Like, that they go, this is a life. Like, it was said, mm-hmm. and that was pretty, like, this is a life. We're not debating whether or not it's a life. We're debating whether or not the woman should have the right to terminate that life.
Yeah.
Like, and the huge, and whether huge or argument not is like, it's not a baby yet. You have a
constitutional right to life. Yeah.
They're like, it's a clump of cells. And I was like, the Supreme Court literally said in there, like, you know what I mean? Like, and I feel like it, and they even said, this is not an abortion advocacy bill. This is, do you know what I mean? But like,
yeah,
but Roe v. Wade, but people have used Roe v. Wade, and it has evolved into abortion advocacy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, whether mm-hmm. or not that was their intention, that's what it's become. because they opened up the door a little bit. And so, and it was kind of one of those things where you sit there and you're just thinking, you're like, oh my gosh, like, yeah, that's crazy. Or that's completely, like, it's completely true and completely false at the same time. Because no, I know. It was, what was the, oh, the one other line that really I loved, that it was saying that you are literally pitting women against their children.
Yes.
And that's the thing that's crazy to me, because, so I tell people all the time, and I go, I feel like, just for me, and maybe just for me, because everyone's feminism is just for them, because I don't have the right to define someone's feminism, someone else doesn't have the right to define mine. And we're going to talk about that in a minute. One of the things that always gets me is I feel like, oh, men and women want equality. Like, women want equality. And I was like, and I tried to explain this to my friend. I goes, but I don't want to be treated like a man. Do you know what I mean? Like, I was like, I'm not, but like, scientifically, I am not a man. I cannot be a man. There are things that a man can do that I cannot, and that is okay. There are things that I can do that a man cannot, and that is okay. Right? Do you know what I mean? Like, we can't be, right? Exactly. And I go, what I want is equity. Like, I don't want to, I want to be met in my gender and my gender needs the way that a man is. And that is what I want. Like, so instead of, and the thing that made me so sad, because I feel like abortion is so anti-woman.
Excuse me. Bless you.
you're welcome. Abortion is so anti-woman. Well, one, because it pits women against their children. But two, it denies them the right to use their bodies as their bodies were meant to be used.
Yes.
Like, and that is where, that is not equality. You know, like, that is basic, like, what you can do and what your body can do is all wrong. And you don't get to have the same benefits of what your body can do that a man can. And that's why I always say, it's like, I'm not looking for equality. I'm looking for equity.
Yeah.
Like, that is where, so, I am.
Can I jump in to explain equity versus equality? There's a great illustration of this. You can find it on the internet. So equality is basically like treating everybody the same, regardless of their background. So, like, you know, it'd be like saying, okay, Marcia, you're really dark. Shannon's kind of light. Let's all go out in the equatorial sun, and we won't give Shannon any sunscreen because we're going to treat her equally.
Okay. Right?
Now, Marcia should also be wearing sunscreen in the equatorial sun. But that being said, like, I need more sunscreen and a higher SPF than Marcia does, okay? Because the sun is going to affect me differently based on my particular genetic makeup that makes me lighter. Another illustration you probably see on the internet is the idea of, like, you know, having a 6 foot tall man and a 5 foot tall woman looking over a fence. If you give them equity, they're both standing at the same level, or sorry, if you give them equality, apologize, they're both standing at the same level, and the 6 foot tall man can see over the 6 foot fence, but the 5 foot tall woman can't, or the little kid can't. What equity is giving a box to the shorter person so that they can also see over the fence. So that's why, like, things like, you know, giving schools that are failing more money rather than less money is more important, because you tend to be in less straightened or less empowered economic areas, or, you know, they're poorer, they may not have access to food, right? Like, that's why we have free and reduced lunch. So kids who don't eat on the weekends can have food, like the kids who are coming, and be able to learn, because they need to eat before they can worry about learning. Like, you're not going to do math when you're worried about whether or not you're going to have breakfast.
Yes, you know, that was my job before.
Right, like, that's what equity is making sure that everybody can start to at a place where they can succeed. And some people have more barriers in the way than others, right? So, like, when we're talking about equity for men and women, we're not saying, oh, we want them to be the same. Like, men don't have to worry about tampons, right? Like, that's not a thing men have to worry about. Like, but we don't also have to worry about, like, the raging testosterone that makes us want to hurt people when we shouldn't. Okay. Yeah. So like those are two different things that hormones do that affect us differently as men and women. And so like everyone should have the ability to be able to sort out their life in a good, healthy, holistic way.
Yes.
Based on their own body, whatever that looks yes. like, and wherever they come from and whatever culture they come from. Okay.
Yes.
Again, another soapbox. I'm gonna be on all my soapboxes. No, today, it's okay. Guys.
But here's the thing. We're legit being feminists right now and we're explaining yeah. you know what I mean? Like, I mean, I'm a feminist all the time and those yeah. have to deal with that. But yeah, no, you're absolutely right. And well, you know, my last job before I became a youth minister, all those years ago, I was a resource coordinator and I worked in a community school where the school literally became the community center hub of the community. And I ran on that. And a lot of it was my job in the simplest terms. What was to get every student in this school at a place that they're ready to learn by the time yeah, the first awesome. Bell rings. Like that was it. That was my job. Mm-hmm. And whatever that meant. So that meant like I had a food pantry on campus. Two weekends a month. I had people coming in for extra reading tutoring. I had, you know what I mean? Like mm-hmm. I had things for parents. I had different community resources come in and that was what I did. Like I was like, and they're like, well, what's your job? And that's all I said. I go, my job is to make sure that every student is ready to learn by the time they sit in the seat. And that's mm-hmm. it. Like what the details are, you don't need to know. Do you know what I mean? Or you do mm-hmm. need to know, like, and we can talk about it, but I didn't have to get into all of that. Like, mm-hmm. And so that's actually like still to this day, I believe it's my favorite job. Mm-hmm. I love yeah, that absolutely. Job very, very much. And I mean, I love this job right now too. Cause I'm thinking about like, that's what I do too. Like,
mm-hmm. here, yeah.
you know,
you feed everybody and get them clothes.
I feed all the football players and I find shoelaces.
So many football.
And so like, seriously, I had enough for it. Everyone to get thirds and then it didn't last forever. I'm like, what is wrong with y'all? Why is y'all crazy?
Crazy.
No, but they see, and they kept eating my food, Shannon. But anyway, it's a huge part. Like when I used to be a resource coordinator. I was also once a preschool teacher. And one of the things, like I had a kid, and even now I have a kid who for medical reasons, he needs more food, more naps. And he also needs whole milk. Like, mm-hmm. you know what I'm talking yeah. about? Like, it's crazy. Like, this kid's like 6'6", and he is 14 years old. Like, so, like, he needs more nutrients. Like, his yeah. body's growing real, real fast. Do you know what yeah. I'm talking about? So,
they need something like, that other people's bodies don't.
Yeah. And so, yesterday, I had a really good discussion with one of my kids while I was cooking dinner for all the football players. He came in, and he asked for his snack, and he got his snack. And then the like 6'6", 14 year old walks in and he asks for his second snack. Oh, the kid, I was like, can I have a second one? And he's mm-hmm. like, and we told him, no, like you're good. You can have yeah. fruit. You know what I mean? Like you already had a snack. You can have fruit.
Mm-hmm.
So this other kid comes in and he asks for his other snack. And his other snack is usually like a granola bar or a Nutri-Grain bar. Yeah. It's not like take more cookies. Do you know what
yeah.
I mean?
And yeah. So, something right? good and healthy for his.
And so condition. He gets another one and he's like, can I have something? He was like, I asked for a second one. You didn't give me one. And then we realized that we never talked to the kids about, because he was in my home before. Like he moved over yeah. with me. So like I already knew his needs and I explained his needs. Like we buy him whole milk, but everyone else gets 1% and skim. Mm-hmm. And so it was one of those things where the kid, and he was like, you just said I couldn't have any. And we're like, oh, you know what I mean? And it was like, and this yeah. kid is also tall, but his body also, like he, it's very different. And uh-huh. so like, it's just, it works. And so we were like, oh, so, and we had to explain to him and he goes, right, he needs more. So he gets more, uh-huh. do you know? And like, and he's like,
kids
oh.
get it.
And like, and he got it right away. He's like, oh, and he's like, oh, like he has his own milk. And we're like, just like he has his own milk. Do you know what I mean? And they're both the same age roughly, but he uh-huh. got it. It was like, he needs more cause he gets more. Uh-huh. Like, do you know, like, so again, that is one of those, and it was really great. And I was like, and I wanted to have a whole discussion about equality and equity, but I was busy making lots of food. And I was yeah, like, we're going to have to revisit this later, and we'll talk about this later. And when I was a preschool teacher, I used to tell the kids they weren't allowed to say that's not fair unless mm-hmm. they really felt they weren't being treated fairly. Because I said, and they all knew, and I go, they were like, that's not fair. And there are a couple things they weren't allowed to say, but one of the kids was like, a new kid was like, why? That's not fair, and blah, blah, blah. The kids were like, don't say that, Miss Marcia. and they're seriously 4 years old. And then this little girl, I'll never forget, she was so cute. She's like, sameness isn't fairness, Matthew.
Yeah!
Because I tell them all the time when I was like, it's like, sameness isn't fairness. I go, fairness is everyone getting what they need.
Baby. And then, baby feminist.
I know. Well, and I was like, I taught them that. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. And that's kind of where we are too. Like, I don't want to be treated the same as a man, but I want to be able to get what I need. Like, case in point. So I have a flexible spending account, like a cafeteria plan for all my health needs and stuff. Like, you have that too. I don't know if you have that too, but
yeah, or HSA, the health savings. Yes. Yeah, similar concept.
For people that don't know what that is, you put money into your a savings account just for health stuff, and that can be for prescriptions, for doctor's visits, for hospital bills. You know, all
Tylenol, whatever.
and so, yeah, like all those kinds of things, and so. Ours is regulated. Like, they're, I used to have yours that, because we were both in the same diocese at one point, that you just got it and then you spent it and you turned in your receipts and it was fine. Whatever it is, what it is. The one I have now is really frustrating because they swipe it, but it has to be certain things are approved and I can get certain things, other things I can't. Like for counseling, like they'll pay for my counseling, but because counseling is coded as like professional services, not medical services, I have to submit for a reimbursement. Do you know what I mean? Oh, Shannon went away. So you just give us a second. We will be right. And we're back. Shannon is back. Hello, Shannon.
Sorry.
Did you just accidentally hang up on me?
I got another call.
And it cut you off. Okay, gotcha. That makes sense. So I can use my, so a man on my account, he can use his card to buy Viagra. Like, he can buy Viagra. I cannot buy tampons. Like, I literally need, I need tampons. I need pads or the Diva Cup or whatever I need. I can't buy, I have to buy those out of pocket every time. Do you know what I mean? Like, and it's kind of like, no, I don't want to be treated like a man. I don't want, I too can buy Viagra, but that does not help me.
I really don't want it.
I don't want it. Yeah. That's so weird. That doesn't help me. Right? But like at the same time, like I can't buy the things I actually need for my reproductive needs. And that really, like, cause that really does, like, I mean, that's all has to do with reproduction. Just telling everybody, just gonna put it out there, you know, and it's, there's like, there's a limit to what I can get. Like, and it's, and I'm like, and that is what's frustrating. And that's why we need feminism. And that's why we constantly have to.
Yeah. And I think the thing that frustrates me about stuff like that is that, like, oftentimes things like contraceptives and abortions or abortion are included in those things, but things that you need for, like, if you want to be a healthy, like, if you're, let's say, trying to get pregnant, or if you're just need tampons like you did, those aren't covered. And that's not right. Real feminism. That's, I mean, like, in my opinion, that's, and people who are a culture that's saying this is the acceptable way to be, aka male, and so therefore we're going to force the things on you that make you more like a man, right? Like a contraceptive or an abortion, rather than giving you the things that you actually need just to be a normal female human.
Yes, exactly.
Right? Like, and that's not even saying, like, that, like, even just for you as a single person who is not trying to get pregnant, like, right? Like, you're not in a relationship and married, so you're not going to be, like, going out there trying to get pregnant. Like, so...
What are you talking about? You don't know my life.
just you need to have a discussion about the Catholic portion.
What do you mean? It's okay.
Like, you know, like that, and that, so not only are we not, we're discriminating against women in general, but specifically like women who are not trying to prevent conception. Like that's or don't need to prevent conception. Yeah.
Like, right, exactly. Like how, like, birth control is free if you have insurance. And if you run Medicare, like, birth control is free. Like, you'd be like, here, take it. Take all these pills. You can have them. Do you know what I'm talking about? Like, isn't that crazy?
Yep.
It's like, oh.
But no tampons.
But no tampons. No tampons, everybody. It's cool. It works. No.
Okay, now that we've talked about tampons and scared away everyone.
Tampons!
I did want to point out, like, one of the things I wrote down, one of the quotes that I specifically wrote down from the movie, which is, the thing I loved about this movie is it wasn't narrated. It was just a documentary interviewing these pro-life feminists who are very active in the movement and who are pretty well known at this point nationally. So I was just writing, I mean, you're basically just writing down what they said. And one of them was talking about, I think it was Amy again, I'm not sure, was talking about, or it might have been Destiny, actually, who's one of my favorites on the New Wave Feminists. Love them.
Love Destiny.
Not safe for work, New Wave Feminists, but but really, like, just amazing, get the connection between pro-life and feminism so well. that... they said, you know, if this is about liberating women from oppression, that's awesome and that's great. But really, when we're talking about abortion in particular, when we put and this is what she said, if you put liberation above equality, that's where it becomes problematic, right? That we're placing the liberation of one group over the lives of another, right? The most vulnerable lives in our society and their potential. And, you know, like, the thing that almost all women would say, and I obviously I'm generalizing, so I don't know if this is true, but I think, like, if you were to ask a woman, like, if you had children, right, hypothetically, whether they want, like, that, would you want to prioritize your life and your future over your children's? Most women, they're not necessarily, they might say, like, it depends, or like, what are you talking about, you know, what's the situation, what's the context? But I know that almost every woman I know, whether they're atheist, whether they're liberal, conservative, religious, whatever, would say that when and if possible, they would try to put everyone's well-being first, right? That they would want, women want their children and themselves and their husbands, right?
Yeah.
To all succeed and flourish and thrive. Mm-hmm. Like, we don't want to make this choice between what's good for our children and what's good for us. Now, do you sometimes do that as a person, as a parent, as an adult? Of course, right? Like, of course you have to say, like, well, you want seconds and so do I, but you need it more because you're a growing child and I'm a 30-year-old woman who doesn't exercise. But, you know, don't tell my doctor. but we don't want to. And one of the things, for those of us who are especially Black Catholics out in the world, there's a movement within the Black female community called the Womanist Movement, that is basically in response to feminism, saying that feminism in some sense took a turn towards oppressing women of color. We'll talk about intersectionality in a minute, but right, like, that it became about putting white women's needs before people of women of color. And so, and especially in this tie to abortion, right, that if you look at Black women throughout history, like, we do not settle for what's less than best for our kids. Like, we are going to fight tooth and nail, and we're going to fight tooth and nail for our husbands and all of the people in our care, right? Like, Black culture is very matriarchal, let's be honest about it. Like,
all day long.
That's also, like, we are strong women, and we're not gonna have that. And so I suggest you look into the Womanist Movement. It talks about, like, how Black women in particular are looking to see the flourishing of everyone and to overcome all the systemic oppression that we face as a people, and that it's not just about me being equally treated compared to men, right? Like, when our men are dying in the streets because they're being shot by police, that's also an affront to us as women, and we need to address that too, right? Like, we all need to flourish, and we all need to be safe and healthy and happy and holy, and that's the point.
We should talk more about the Womanist Movement, like, we should talk about that, like, get into it.
Okay, go for it.
We should, like, I mean, just, you know what I mean, like, but no, that, Like, I'm just saying, like, that's also kind of, I mean, that's just real life of being a Black woman.
Mm-hmm. It is. Yeah.
All of that. So, one of the, before we get into intersectionality, what was it that I wanted to, So Amy, I really liked Amy. Mm-hmm. I think because Amy was a new voice that I hadn't really heard before. Yeah. Cause I follow the pro-life, the New Wave Feminist, and I hear Destiny's story, you know, quite a bit. But Amy, when she was talking, she was saying, like, oh, my favorite word right now is like, that I love is called, it's Sonder. Did you hear what she said? And Sonder literally means the realization that each random person is living a life as vivid and complex as your own. And it's like, right? That, like, that's what Sonder means. Like, oh my gosh, like, you're right. Because, like, every life is vivid and complex, and every life needs to be lived. And so when I went to go and just look up the definition again, I was like, Sonder, like the last name, or Sonder, like wonder. Do you know what I mean? And I was trying to figure it out. But then I stumbled upon Sonder, like the last name, S-A-U-N-D-E-R. Mm-hmm. But like Saunders, like that last name. Yeah. And that name, okay, something that I thought was really cool, that it was, it's a form of the name Alexander, and that, and which was Alexandros, which literally means defender of men. Boom
Well,
right,
defend, I'm assuming that means men, human beings.
Yes, but
that sense,
I don't care. But do you know what I mean?
Whatever.
I was like, yeah, defender of men. Like, but everything back in those days was men, even though it meant
woman.
You know what I mean, meant all the people.
The church still does that too.
It's really all the time dude.
Totally skip the part in this creed where it says for us men. I just say for us.
It's for all us. No,
because Jesus doesn't just come for the men.
Right? Exactly. Because that in language, I mean, up until recently, women weren't included in language. You know?
Yeah, no.
So I'm just like, so I was like, no, that's amazing. I'm here for it. I'm here for Sonder, y'all. So
thumbs up.
So, okay. So thanks for the thumbs up, Shannon. She was like waving that thumbs up, girl. I got you.
Right in front of the camera.
Okay. So let's talk about intersectionality. So we said, we keep saying we're going to talk about it. And then I will just say this. Intersectionality, the idea of intersectionality came about in like the 80s, even though we're just hearing about it now.
Mm-hmm.
But like, intersectionality has always been a word. But adding, I'm like, it's been a word for a long time. But putting intersectionality in feminism was an idea that came about in the 80s. But only like 20-some years later, people started to talk about it.
And almost 30.
Almost 30 years later. But in the 80s, it was a Black woman who was like, let's talk about this. And it's so crazy. People... And a lot of white feminism pick it up, and that's, you know what I mean? They define that. And so really quick, intersectionality means the interconnected nature of social categorizations. Why can't I talk? Categorizations. Why can't I speak words, Shannon? Such as race, class, and gender, as they apply to a given individual or group, regarded as creating overlapping and independent systems of discrimination or disadvantage. So... I thought you were going to say. So, go ahead. Say what you're going to say.
So for those more visually inclined people, intersectionality is basically a way to talk about identity that that makes us recognize that we're never just one thing, right? Like I said, for the more visually inclined, right? We often think of ourselves as like a pie chart, right? This is where I'm Black. This is where I'm white. This is where I am a girl. This is where I am a reader. This is where I am an athlete, right? Like all of these different identities we carve out for ourselves. And like, and there are certain times when we're one thing and certain times when we're not. And those are like pieces of the puzzle that never intersect. Well, that's not true.
You're right.
That's the whole point of intersectionality. Okay, they do. Like my experience as a woman clouds how I experience my biracialness, my heterosexuality, my Catholicness, right? All of those things are always interacting with each other. So a better example that I always give is, instead of thinking of ourselves as pie charts when it comes to our identity, we're really like spaghetti, right? There's these beautiful different pieces of the puzzle that are clear and you can see them, like the spaghetti meat sauce that you serve to the football boys, right? Like you can see the meat, you can see the sauce, you can see the pasta, you can see the cheese, right? All those things. And they're fine on their own. They're good on their own. But when you mix them all together, right, you're not just going to like lay each piece on the side and not eat it together. You're going to throw all that spaghetti together and mix it up and stir it up so it's all touching and intersecting and making it the best dish that it possibly could be. Like, that's intersectionality. And we need to be spaghetti and embrace our spaghetti monster.
Yes. Yes. Oh, we've talked about this before. I'm like, yes. Yeah. And it's so funny. You're like, we're not a pie chart. And I'm like, we're a Venn diagram. No. Okay, we're spaghetti.
No, no.
We're spaghetti.
But I do like the Venn diagram.
It's like where all the things are in the things.
Yep.
So, but no, and you and a lot of people, and when that term came about, so when the Women's March happened, it was in 2017.
It was
2016. It was
2016. And I don't know. Yeah, I guess it was 2017.
Because I'm like, because it was right after the Meghan current was
president
born.
Was inaugurated. Yes.
It was, yeah, because I went to go, I drove to see you instead of going to see them because you just had the baby. Mm-hmm. So the pro-life feminists got kicked out of being a sponsor of this. And everyone was on Twitter and they go, no. Your feminism isn't intersectional. And I was like, no, that's literally the meaning of intersectional feminism. Yeah. That like everyone is invited. Like all the people are invited. Do you all know what people. I mean? Like, and so
the Republicans, the Democrats.
Right?
The-
like, and it's so it's kind of like, no, you and that is where if people really that's why I say like I can't define someone's feminism. Because I'm not coming from where they're coming from. I'm not who they are or where they are or anything. And so, and I think that we forget that. Like, I mean, and sometimes I would just like to say, yeah, I'm feminist and I don't want to put the pro-life in front of it because you should know that all feminists should be pro-life.
Yeah.
But that's not, and that's literally, that's seriously how I feel. Like I said in the beginning of the show.
Yep.
At the same time, though, I know that's not real because people come from different places and spaces and have different experiences and worldviews, and they're still feminists. It's just doesn't look like my feminism. And I want it all to look like my feminism because then more babies will live.
Yes, and, we love babies.
Do you know what I mean? I also want more pro-lifeness to look like my pro-life too.
Yeah, to look like feminists.
Mm-hmm. I want them both to exist. I want it to exist just like that, you know, because I mean, and we'll get this to this later when we talk about a more pro-life issue instead of like more feminist, but it's like when you're a pro-life feminist, it's not just like it's like you really care about all of women and all of society and all of people and their well-being and what happens after they're born. And that's also why it's really hard. It's really difficult as a Catholic to, I vote. I absolutely have to. I'm a black woman. Mm-hmm. I need to vote. That's a whole thing. But it's difficult as a Catholic to vote because like to pick
nobody's ever going to fit your
no one's your ever going to fit it, right? Because at one level, I am pro-life, right? I want all the babies to live. And that's what, I mean, I am pro-life. But my pro-lifeness on one level is opposed to abortion, right? And then on the other level, me being pro-life is also making sure there are resources for everyone and making sure that people are getting what they need, making sure there's equity, making sure, you know what I mean? And we don't have any party or any candidate ever that puts those things together.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's about choosing one over the other. Mm-hmm. And that's difficult and it makes me sick. And so it's like, I wish that we could all just come together and, you know, and make that happen.
Yeah.
So, and it's really, and it is frustrating. And, someone told me recently that, and we had to work. We had to work out a debate we were having over Facebook, and we worked it out in person, mm-hmm. which rarely happens. But I was like, we can go for coffee. And she was like, well, I am pro-life, and I know that you're pro-life, and that's why I voted for President Trump, because I don't want abortion to happen. Mm-hmm. And I was like, without getting into politics, I was like, well, the numbers state that abortions go down when Democrats are in office because there are more services mm-hmm. and for women. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But they also don't prevent abortions from happening. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, that's just, that happens. And mm-hmm. and it was one of those things I go, it doesn't make me happy. It makes me angry, actually.
Yeah.
You know, that it's kind of like, oh, if the two things were working together, there would be a lot mm-hmm. less abortions. You know, like, and that's yes. kind of like, if we find a way to merge all that, we can mm-hmm. do that and be people and be like, babies matter. If we get the same people that say, let's have all these babies, like, same people that say that they love babies are the same people that can say Black Lives Matter. That would be amazing. But
that's yes.
not the case. No,
there are lots of those people out there. Just want to point that out.
No, there are. There are absolutely a lot of people out there.
Yeah.
It's just that if we, you know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. until the day that can all happen, it is yeah. still difficult to vote.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It will be forever. And that's why the bishops tell us, like, here are the things that we believe. Every year, if you didn't know this, every year at election time, the bishops put out a document called Faithful Citizenship, which kind of highlights some of the major issues and where church teaching falls on them. And you'll find if you follow church teaching, you're never going to find any part of your candidate that actually fits with all of those things. So the bishops say you use your conscience, you pray, mm-hmm. you look, and you decide which candidate you think is going to be best within your conscience, and it's okay to vote for someone who holds positions that might be contrary to church teaching if there is no better option, because sometimes we have to choose mm-hmm. in a human way. It's imperfect and not yeah. good, and we have to do the best we can to make sure that God's kingdom comes about and people flourish. Like,
that's
we do the best we can with the information and the ability that we have. And that's all we can do. And that's all God, I think, asks of yeah. us. Certainly all the church asks of us.
So it's kind of like, sorry, back from my tangent. So yeah, my Catholicism informs my feminism, my blackness,
yeah.
my womanness. Yeah. Do you know Absolutely. What I mean? Like,
all together.
Like, all yeah. of those things. So.
And I think another thing that I would like to point out when we're talking about pro-life feminism, that for me as a person of African descent, like, it's especially important when it comes to talking about issues of race, right? Like, 1 in 4 Black women abort their babies, yeah. right? That is a ridiculous amount of Black men and women who were never born. Yeah. And that's not because Black people want their children to not be born. It's because where are the abortion clinics? They're in brown and Black poor neighborhoods,
85%.
Right? Where, and we won't get into, we're going to have another pro-life episode, so we won't get into, like,
Margaret Sanger.
Because we'll get off on our. eugenics
yeah,
too much.
We'll talk about it.
Yeah. But if you're into, like, if you're not a person of faith, right? Like, it's easy for us to comment this from a Catholic perspective. Cause if you're a Catholic, you're like, yeah, I'm in pro-life, whatever. Mm-hmm. But if you are a person who's not a person of faith and maybe even comes from a more liberal background of like, oh, I might be leaning pro-choice or whatever. There's a pretty good article from The Atlantic from 2014, which I think I sent Marcia yes, for the show notes.
yes.
I think hopefully
it'll
be in there
for the show notes. Yes.
That talks about the racial gap in abortions and how basically Black women about 1 in 4 have abortions, and with Hispanic women it's about 1 in 5, 1 in 6, whereas with white women it's 1 in 20. That's a huge yep. gap, and that has nothing to do with abortion. That's everything to do with race in America.
Yes,
right?
It does.
So, like, I think that as feminists and as Black women, we should be against abortion not because of what we necessarily believe about what's going on in the womb, although that's number one priority for me personally, but also because it should be about what we believe about racial equality. Like that's, yes. It is a tool of oppression.
Yes, it really, still. And we're going to talk about that.
Yep. At a different time.
Yes. Cause like I said, like the lies that this was built on, people believe Margaret Sanger was a savior, but really she is their executioner. But we're good. We're going to talk about
that. Okay.
We'll talk about that later. Cause I am angry. Shannon's like, let's calm Marcia down.
This may sound like our pro-life episode, but it's not. This is our feminism episode.
Yeah, this is our feminism episode. Yay, women. So, we're totally like almost an hour in, but we're still going to go.
We're still going.
So we're going to talk about
if you listen to us, you know this is going to go.
It's going to be a bit. I told you, like someone once told me, you have a long podcast. I was like, I do.
All right.
But
and you will listen to it.
Listen to all of it. So being a feminist and knowing that I'm feminist, and when I was working for the church, I was youth minister in the church, and I and people knew who I was, and they know how I am, and I went toe to toe with priests all the time, like all the time, and making sure that I was seen as a woman and seen as a Black woman, and that. It caused tension, but it also, at the end of it all, I feel like people understood better, or you know what I mean? Like they
it helped people to grow.
I agree with that. So when I was working for the church, I was probably the youngest youngest staff member.
Yeah, every job I've ever been in until recently.
Yeah. So
if you're under 50, you're probably the youngest.
So if you worked at the church. I was in my 30s as the youngest staff member.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
And so, but a lot of the women that worked in the church with me were very much church ladies. Do you know what I mean? Like, I think there was one woman who was single. She was older. But like everyone else, you know, had husbands and families, and it was very much the same situation. Like I was considered all kinds of fiery. Like, let's be real. Like, I am all kinds of fiery in real life. But I think for it to be put into Terre Haute, Indiana. Thrown in there, and they got all this Marcia and all this Marcia that doesn't pull any punches. And
for those who aren't from Indiana, Terre Haute is where the Klan revived in recent times. So, best place to be a Black woman in America.
But I was a Black woman there for 3 years, and that place is still home to me. Like, do you know what I mean? Like,
they embraced you. They loved you.
First week, they didn't, though. I told you about my first week, how they called me to be a youth Eucharistic minister for, like, my first week there. They're like, hey, can you just do this? Like, that's fine. And then an old couple went up, and they got their bread, and I was standing there with the wine, and the man kept walking, and the woman starts to walk up to me, and he yanked her away. Like, I was like, y'all gross. I was like, okay, welcome to Terre Haute, Marcia. Do you know what I mean? Where the people are racist, and you're going to have to finish this wine. Yep. Church wine is not good. So there was a lot. Like, I was constantly, I had a priest once tell me, he's like, God, he's like, not like a pick your, like, it was like essentially like pick your battles or whatever. And he's like, is this the hill you want to die on? And this was around the time, like Trayvon Martin happened, and no one discussed it. Like, I was the only person that discussed it because like no one said, you know what I mean? It was Terre Haute, Indiana.
Nope. And I had to talk about that.
And he basically was like, is this the hill that you want to die on? And I was like, well, why not? I'm like, Black men are being killed in the streets and no one's talking about that. Do you know what I mean? And very much like, and he's like, okay. Like, it was like, he was trying to manage like uncomfortable parishioners that were mad that I wasn't, that I didn't denounce, like a gay youth. Like, I didn't denounce it. Like, there are people that are mad. They were like, and it was like, that's not, I'm like, oh no, thank you. Do you know what I mean? And like, this happened in both parishes where I served. Like, I didn't tell a youth that was openly gay that they, you know, couldn't come to church or couldn't, do you know what I mean? Like, and I did, like, I was like, cause that's gross and weird and that's not who we are. Do you know? And so, or I didn't.
Also, we're all,
yeah,
we all have stuff that doesn't fit with Jesus. So
and I even like, and also, well, there's that, and then I was in shows, and so I had a lot, like, I think mm-hmm. almost all of my friends except for one or two outside of my parish, except for, well, my friend Amy, but they were all gay, or mm-hmm. like, it's just kind of like, that's how it worked. Like, I met them all doing a show, and boom, here mm-hmm. we are. Do you know what I mean? And so it was upsetting to some people that that was happening. And I was like, we need mm-hmm. to accept people and, you know, and who they are. And mm-hmm. they, and so that was a problem. You know what I mean? The fact that I really thought that I was all kinds of hot stuff, but I was a woman in the church. And didn't I know that my role was limited? And mm-hmm. I was mm-hmm. like, why do you say that? Because women literally run the church. And that's what I kind of said. And I even said in a staff meeting one day, I go, I don't understand why so many, and then they've all like, were openly like, oh, well, I, like, it was back when Obama was up for re-election. Well, I talk over with my husband and we talked about this and this is where we are. And I go, it astounds me that so many of you, and I said this, that so many of you will defer to the men in your life. And I go, but you are literally running this institution. Like, and I got a staff meeting and I was like, to the priest, I go, I understand. I get it. You're here. You're totally being all priestly.
Yep. Yeah, you're in charge.
And I go, I'm like, but we run this, you know, like, I'm like, we're running this. We're women. Like, our voice needs to be heard. We need to be able to, mm-hmm. like, our needs need to be met. And someone told me that there was no room for my feminism. Do you know what I mean? And I was like, well, I'm like, and that is exactly why I need to make room. Like, I don't, do you know what I mean? Like, yes, I was not invited back for a fourth year.
Yeah.
Like, and it's one of those things too. And that, and then there were certain things surrounding it too, that, well, one of the priests was just really uncomfortable with just me, and mm-hmm. like, and another priest didn't want me to leave. And so, but at the end of the day, who's going to leave, the youth minister or the priest? No.
Yeah.
And so
not the priest.
And, but here's the thing though. Like, I never felt that my voice should be silenced, because, and it probably because I went to an all girls prep school, and it was a mm-hmm. Catholic school, and it was all girls.
Let me tell you, the nuns, they don't be quiet.
But that's the thing though. I was like, I was literally taught at my all girls college prep school by Franciscan nuns. Mm-hmm. You can't tell me, and Dominican nuns, like, mm-hmm. you can't tell me that I don't know what it is to be a feminist and be Catholic. Like, mm-hmm. I got it, honestly, and y'all are going to have to mm-hmm. deal with it. And they had a hard time with it. You know what I mean? And it happened in other jobs too, but it's really important. Like, it's important to have your voice. It's important to be heard. Mm-hmm. And I think, like, in my experience, like, that's where I am. And I'm still facing that now. Like, I work for, mm-hmm. My organization, they're not Christian organization or anything, mm-hmm. But I am happy. I don't shrink, and so it's important to, you know what I mean, it's important to be mm-hmm. a feminist, because I literally won't get what I need. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a huge part of advocating for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. You know, so that's, anyway, sorry, Shannon, share your experience. Do you
have it's interesting, because I've always been a feminist, but I, like, for many years wouldn't call myself that. Mm-hmm. Mostly because, like, I think especially in church circles, there's, like you said, a stigma that goes along with that of, like, oh, well, you obviously believe in abortion and contraceptives, and you believe that women should be priests and all these things that, like, I don't necessarily believe at all.
At all, in any way.
Like, yeah.
What?
Yeah. My mom was very much a feminist and has always been, and will be, like, you know,
forever.
I'm a proud feminist, and like, would talk to us when we were little about being a feminist, and it was great. Thanks, Kyle. Love you.
Yeah.
Thanks for being on. And you know, like, one of the things that I think was a real gift to me too is that my parents were both, like, regardless of who they were, like, they were in an equal partnership in their marriage, and, like, they didn't necessarily conform to traditional gender roles, because that's not who they were. Like, my mom, love you, Kyle, not a great cook, actually pretty bad. But my dad, Vinod, is amazing, an amazing cook. He learned from his mom, who, you know, like, she made the gumbo for, you know, 10 hours and all that, black mama. and he taught me, and like, I, you know, I love cooking with my dad, my sister and I, and he, all three of us will cook together on holidays and stuff and have a lot of fun. And so like my dad cooked and my mom might've done the cleaning, but my dad was like changing diapers. So like there was a lot of, I never really saw that in our house. And so I didn't expect it in the world. And you know, both of my parents always were like, you know, what are your opinions? What do you want to do with your life? There was always, something that was always inherent in that. And like, I remember my mom when I was in middle school, like asking me once, she's like, well, do you believe that guys think you're less, like not pretty because you're smart? And I remember saying like, no, because I was 13 and like, just wanted to have a boyfriend. And she was like, no, and she went on off on this time. Like, you're smart. You need to be smart and achieve and like, do all, like, it doesn't matter what men think of you. And like you, if someone really loves you, then they're going to value you for who you are, like what you are doing, which, like, great advice, mom. Good job. and so, like, I specifically remember having that conversation. So that's always something that was there in my life. And it's all like, I would always have said things that would be considered feminist, but like, especially in Catholic circles, I was really hesitant to label myself that. And even now when I say something like, yeah, I'm a feminist, like, people are like, they kind of look at me weird when I'm at church, and I'm like, what's wrong? Like, yeah. I've gotten to the point where I don't care anymore, but I'm just like, just deal with it, whatever. But one of the more interesting things is that I have kind of had the opposite experience of you in church ministry, in that like, it has been one of the places I've felt most supported in trying to live my intersectional feminist life. Mm-hmm. I remember when I had my first kid, I asked if I could bring him to work with me as a baby until he started crawling. And they said, yeah, no problem. We'd love to have a baby here. There were churches that said, well, we didn't plan for a maternity leave, so we'll just pay you while you're on leave and you can have a paid leave. Mm-hmm. And I did work from home, and that was amazing. You know, when I apply for jobs at a church, in a Catholic church, all of the priests expect that many women will apply, and most of the time hire women. Like, it's not like a weird thing to see, yeah, women working in a Catholic church. Whereas if you come from a Protestant tradition, that may not be the case. And in many cases, they will actively deny you work because you are a woman and say, you can't preach or you can't do these things. And really for me, the only experience in the church that I've had of like sort of being like, not allowed to do something is just, I'm not a priest, so I can't do priest things, you know? Right. And that's okay with me. I don't want to be a priest. Right. If you were to ask me, like, honestly. So that's been really, great for me. And I do think that the church can play a huge role in helping women live lives that are pro-life and are, equal, and that we can be a huge advocate, and especially that we can promote a society that's just. I really do think that the church, especially in our promotion of natural family planning and of making people aware of like which drugs can be abortifacients, mm-hmm, when it comes to birth control and things like that, really do a sincere justice to women and advocating for women in ways that no one else really is in society. Yeah. Could we do better? Yes. Awesome. So do better, church.
we've legit like, proven that recently.
We can do better at everything. For humans. So, And so now, the other thing I just wanted to say is like, I am so grateful to my husband, who would call himself a feminist and is a wonderful example. To my sons and daughters, mm-hmm, of being an equal partner and of just advocating for equality, whether, yeah, it's between men and women or between people of color or not. And like, dude, he's a white guy. Like, he could just coast. He, yeah, could just enjoy being a white male in America and like never have to do, you know, just like, not have to worry too much about who's being oppressed. But he does, and he is an advocate for lots of different people. And so, Eric Schmidt, you're a rock star. Love ya.
Rockstar, woo!
Intersectional rockstar.
Intersectional rockstar.
Yep.
Not international. Wait, it is now because we do have listeners all over the
yes,
world.
Yes, so love you.
She's officially an hi, international
Meghan.
Intersectional.
Hi, Meghan Markle.
Because Meghan Markle.
Hello, Duchess of Sussex.
Yes. We should email her.
All right, we're getting really off topic now.
I know, right? Okay, so I want to say though, like, right, Shannon, like your experience. It's something I tell people all the time that mm-hmm. I said, because America Magazine came out with an issue, gosh, it was in maybe 2014, and it was all about women in the church. Like, mm-hmm. That's what it was. Like, the whole entire issue from cover to cover was about women in the church. And it had several articles, and it was really great. And our priest went out and bought it for all of
awesome.
Us. And yes. We all just sat and talked about it and discussed it. And he yes. took us to lunch and he just took all the women out. He's like, this will just be for the women. I go, oh, so we'll just leave Jerry behind? Like, do you know oh what God. I mean? Like, and so that's seriously what happened. And so we all went out to lunch and we all discussed it. And one of the things that I brought up, and I even said, I go, you know, as a single woman, I still feel this. And this is a lot of the reason why I'm writing my book that I have, like, that we don't have, I feel like we don't have a place in the church. Like, we are still, still not seen. Like,
yeah,
and then I think that's why my experience is different than your experience.
Mm-hmm.
Because you are a married woman in the church with kids. Mm-hmm. You are literally living out your vocation, right? Mm-hmm. And that's what's happening. Shelves. But that's what's happening. And the Catholic Church makes it where you're able to have it all.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
As a married I don't know woman, if I can ever have
well,
it all.
Like, quote unquote. Yeah. You know what I mean?
How can people I can do what I can live out both my vocations.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
So that's what I mean. So that's where you are, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they recognize that you have a family and you have a husband because that's what the church recognizes that.
Mm-hmm.
At this, and you totally have the platform to be a feminist because you're like, whatever. And then they're like, she's living her vocation. They see you differently.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yep, absolutely.
But for me, I don't get seen. I get, like, it's essentially like they forget that I am still trying to discover my vocation.
Mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
I'm not given time, and I'm not made, room is not made mm-hmm. for me in that respect. It, mm-hmm. it really hasn't been. It was like, you can do all the things. You don't have a family or kids.
You're single.
Right? And it's like,
everything.
But I want one. Can I yeah. have a day off? Can I sleep? I was like, I literally need
not
to
on Monday.
Sleep. I was like, I don't have a family, kids. I won't ever get one with these bags under my eyes. Can you please let me?
I would say that single men in the church also feel that too, that yeah. they're always on demand too.
Yeah.
So I think that's a real problem.
That's a real thing. And so mm-hmm. I say that, like, our experiences, because have you only worked for the church as a married woman?
Yeah, I've been single, and I would say that I have a lot of the same complaints that you probably did, although yeah, maybe not as many, like,
for a while.
Feminine.
Mm-hmm. You told me, I remember, because I had, like, 3 mission trips and, like, a 6-week period. You're like, I remember that when I was a single youth minister. I remember those things. That was crazy, and I was like, I have 3 mission trips, and I'm like, I'm so crazy. But, and so, I mean, like, that experience is a little different. Do you know what mm-hmm. I mean?
Absolutely.
Really, as a single person at the Catholic Church, I could not ask to bring my baby to work because they're like, you got a baby?
No.
Do you know what I mean?
Yep, absolutely. You should not be having a baby when you're
what
single.
Do you mean, baby? I'm just saying. Like, but no, so I know I'm so bad. But no, so that's kind of, no, I think before, yeah, so that's, okay, I'm glad that we kept talking about feminism because I was like, pro-life. But no.
Yeah, no.
So that, I don't have anything else to add. Do you have anything else to add?
No, I think we've talked about most of it. So.
Yes, exactly. No, if you guys want to share your experiences of what it is to be a feminist, what it is to a feminist in whatever level of feminist or what your intersectionality is, please tweet at us at PSBB Podcast on Twitter. Follow us on Instagram at PSBB Podcast or email us at plaidskirtsandbasicblack@gmail.com. We would love Whoop. To hear from you. So Shannon, what are you looking forward to this week?
I'm looking forward to kids' soccer games. We have about 6 of them in the next 2 days. Hopefully it won't rain. Pray for no rain. And then I'm just really excited coming up to do some family stuff and like be boring. That sounds really I think that's like when you hit a certain point in family life, just like being with your family is a really great thing. And so that's kind of where I'm at. I just started classes again for, this is my last year of my master's degree. So if you could pray for me, guys, that I just finish strong and actually get the degree, that would be great.
You got this.
So I'm looking forward to not necessarily the coursework, although it's always interesting, but just I'm excited that the end is in sight. So I'm looking forward to that, too.
That's awesome.
How about you?
This week, well, today I'm going to see my friend, who I haven't seen in a few months. She actually lives close to you, because I usually see her when I'm at your house. And so if you guys could pray for her, her name is Amanda, and she right now has colorectal cancer, and she's in Chicago for the next couple days because she's going to 2 different concerts, and today is her day in between concerts, and she's like, I'm gonna need a rest anyway. And we were texting before, and we were texting before, she's like, I don't know if I'm feeling great. I go, it's okay, I can just come to your hotel and lay around with you. Do you know what I mean?
Like Netflix and chill.
Like, I'm like, I will, I'll bring my laptop. I go, we can just watch things, it's fine. Do you know what I mean? And we do, like, we watch Doctor Who and The Office.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And like all that. So like that can totally happen. So I'm really looking forward to seeing her tonight. As for this week, it's gonna be a knock on wood, it'll be super boring around here.
Yay, boring.
I don't have a football dinner to make food for, so that is really good. I meant to tell you guys a funny story before we started, so is it okay if I tell you a funny story?
Yep.
Okay.
Awesome. We're at like 2 hours.
I know, we're at 2 hours. Whatever. So when
if you're still here, we love you.
Right. So we went to the weather check. So, I mean, we're all aware at this point, like Aretha Franklin died. It was very sad. Right.
So sad. Why so did we not talk about this?
I don't know. And I thought about it. She's like, why have we not mentioned this? So Aretha Franklin passed away and it was really awful. And so I'm a cantor at our church. Like, I am the only person who sings at Mass. And so we have rotating priests that come in from a neighboring abbey. It's called Marmion Abbey, and they come in, they rotate. And so there's one priest.
Damn, Marmion.
Father Leo, he's such a sweet man. He's so great, and I love him. And he, like, all the priests love me. But you know that, right? Like, priests and gay men think I'm fantastic. And I'd be great. Everyone who can't marry me is in love with me, and that's fine. I don't mind.
Straight
men.
Like, step it up.
Like, whatever, right? But I'm not kidding. Like, it legit is a thing. And so, so he just seriously, like, and he, during his homily, or no, I think he even dedicated the Mass to Aretha Franklin, and during his homily, was really sad. Old white man, completely sad about Aretha Franklin, that we lost Aretha Franklin, and then at the sign of peace, he gives me a hug, and he's like, we lost our Aretha, and I was like, okay, but it was funny, because I already planned on saying what a friend we have in Jesus. And in my own way, dedicate that to Aretha Franklin. Mm-hmm, that was my own little tribute. And so I still had, like, so I don't know what it is, but the priests know I have to go sing immediately after they give me the Eucharist. Yeah.
Why don't they give me the big hunk?
I get the big hunk of Eucharist, okay? So I had to
take it in your car.
Right? It was legit. Like, it was like five. I'm like, is this for five people? Do I have this much sin? So I had the Eucharist, right? And then I got the wine. I almost want to drink all the wine, but
yep.
Drink all the communion wine.
All the blood.
And so it's like, cause I'm like, I literally have to walk up and sing. Mm-hmm. And so Colleen's playing, she put on the organ setting so I could sing it all gospelly. But I was trying to breathe and also not choke on the Eucharist.
Yeah.
So, so you start out, it starts out like, what a friend we, like, you know, so like completely normal. That's not what happened. So I came and I was trying to breathe and not choke. And I was like, whoa, like it was this insanely loud note. Colleen called it a powerful note. So the priest was still, like, making sure people had their Eucharist. It startled everyone in the church because we have a small chapel.
Yeah.
And the priest, like, stood up. He's like, oh, my God. Like, what happened, right? He literally almost dropped the chalice. So in that moment, be trying not to choke, I literally scared the Jesus out of him. I almost scared the Jesus out of him. Like, literally.
Oh, my God.
I meant to tell you this last week.
Oh, my God.
I even had it written down. I was like, I need to share this story. Because only, you know, our podcast listeners will appreciate it because it's Catholic. Anyway, but I'm not kidding. But I was like, wah! And then I didn't choke. But everyone was like, huh, what's happening? Do you know what I mean? But the priest, he like looked. He was startled. He literally almost spilled it. It scared the Jesus out of him, Shannon.
You don't want to clean up.
I don't want to clean up
precious blood. That is, it's a mess.
I mean, you will literally cry over spilled Eucharist. It was so, I was like, I'll be responsible.
Okay. At some point, we should have an ecumenical episode where we talk with some people from other Christian denominations, because I have a great story to tell about a time I went to a Presbyterian church for Easter. So I'd gone to the Easter vigil for my Catholic mm-hmm. mass the night before, and then went to a Presbyterian church in the morning, and their communion, and like me as a Catholic being like, We'll get into that some other time.
Yeah, we definitely need to talk about it. Especially me being a convert, we should talk about all those things.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. But yeah, so I was like, aren't you glad I told that story, Shannon?
Yeah, it made my day.
Seriously, scared the Jesus out of that man. Anyway, so, okay, that is all we have. Okay, so. Yep.
Finally.
Yeah, I know, right? That's it. So yes, follow us on Instagram and Twitter at PSBB Podcast. You can follow me at stylishly_Sia or the Hot Mess Heroine, because I decided to use that again. Because I can't make up my mind. And so yeah, our Instagram page, that's where you can follow Shannon for now. Just for mm-hmm. now. But soon we will have one. And all those things. And then I will share that Atlantic article in the show notes, so make sure you check that out. And we will see you guys, you'll hear us next week on another episode of Experts in Basic Black. Have a good one. Bye.
Bye.